Last night we were singing, they were singing a song, crowd were singing a song, it's "Oh How He Loves Us." I remember a long time ago, there was a young man who came into my office and sat down and he said, "I'm mad at God." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because he's kept my daddy sick almost all my life." And he said, "I don't know." He said, "Why did he keep my daddy sick? And me and my brothers all had hand-me-down stuff my whole life." He said, we'd go to school and we'd have to wear each other's clothes. And we used each other's sporting equipment and cleats and everything like that. And every time we'd go to church on Sunday and Wednesday, my dad could hardly stand up, could hardly walk. And he said, and he couldn't work, so he couldn't pay for us. And I'd hear him crying from time to time and saying, "God, I wish I could provide for my kids better. But I love you." And this man was in his 20s, 25, 26 years old. And he sat across from me, and I said, said something very bold at the time, very bold at the time. I said, "Your dad loves God, and God loves your daddy." And he looks at me and he said, "No, my dad's been sick all of his life." And he said, "I don't think God loves him at all." And I said, "God really loves your daddy, friend, because guess what? He could trust him with being sick. And you're 25 years old, and all you know of your dad is that he loves God." See, listen, most people who've got it real good and don't struggle a whole lot can't say that. You're sitting here because God could trust him with a whole lot of trouble, and he'd still glorify him, and his son, his youngest son, not his oldest and not his middle son, but his youngest son will be sitting here right now saying, "My daddy loves the Lord. And trust him, even when he was sick." And see, Scott sung that song this morning because I was real bold and I said that. Your dad, God really loves your daddy because he can trust him with some trouble. And God's really put some stuff on my dad. And for a couple of weeks, I started thinking, "God, why are you doing this to my dad?" And you know, it's real easy sometimes to stand up here and preach and teach, stuff like that. And last night, just for a moment, it got real quiet in there. And they started singing a song. It said, "Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves us." And I told him, I said, "God, I know you love my dad. I know you love my dad. And I know you love me. I trust you." And man, it was the sweetest time. Because sometimes we think if we're going through trouble, God don't love us. He does. He absolutely loves us. Amen. And if we're going through a hard time, we think, "Well, God, you just..." No, what he's saying is, "I love you enough to trust you through this stuff. If you'll trust me, you'll go through it better and come out better." Amen. So it helped me to be with our youth last night to worship. Man, what a great time that was. But I tell you, it was no mistake. Johnny sat beside me, Johnny and Caitlin. It's kind of funny because they asked me something and I kind of broke down a little bit. But then I realized, man, all the stuff they've been through as a family. And they didn't say, "Man, I'm going to get sick." I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to that or not. It was kind of neat because I told them, I said, "Man, it's hard." And they looked back at me and they said, "Yeah, it'll be hard." But I realized, wait a minute, they weren't telling me from a point of view that they didn't know. They were telling me point of view they absolutely knew. And man, they helped me so much. I don't know they did, but they just sat there and they loved me and just listened to me. And they spoke back into my life. And man, what a great time. You might be going through a hurt or you might went through a hurt already, but guess what? You're going to be able to help somebody because you're going through that hurt. Is that all right? Is that all right? Thank you. I just thank my church, man. I'm telling you, sometimes You're the preacher, some of the preach-y, amen? Y'all ready to get in the Word? Y'all didn't come up here for nothing, did you? I didn't think so. John 19:30. We've worshiped, we've learned, we've worshiped God, we've learned in Sunday school, we've done that. Let's eat. Y'all ready to eat? Hey, if you don't come to church to learn to get better, praise God, I don't know why he showed up. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Aren't you glad it says, "It is finished"? It is finished. Aren't you glad as a Christian, if you're born again, aren't you glad you stepped into a finished work, not a work that's in process? I stepped into a promise. I stepped into a salvation that was finished at Calvary. What was finished? It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Amen? In the beginning was the Word. You know, at the beginning of the world, Jesus was there. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word has always been. Do you know in the garden when Adam committed the first sin, through one man's disobedience came sin? Do you know the very moment that he took that sin and punishment was handed down, that there was a promise of Jesus Christ, this one we're talking about who said it was finished, there was a promise that said, "Hey, listen, you might bruise his head, but you're going to bruise his heel. He's going to crush you at Calvary." All the way back in Genesis, he's going to crush you. You might bruise him, but he's going to crush what you've done by letting sin come into the world. Amen? But then you got to remember there's Abraham and Isaac. Remember when Abraham was given the hard request to take your son up to Mount Moriah and slaughter him, offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Do y'all remember that? I don't know if there's any dads in here, but how hard would that be? I don't know if you've got any sons, but how hard would it be to look over and say, "All right, I'm going to take him and I'm going to slaughter him because God said to." You told your wife. One of the sweetest places in the Bible, because when they get to the place where they're at, they say, "The servants stay there," and he said, "You stay here. Me and the lad go up there to worship." That's a crazy word, ain't it? It's the first place in the Bible worship is mentioned. You can do a plumb line all the way through the Word of God. Worship is brought from a place of brokenness, not a place of happiness. True worship comes from broken people who love Jesus more than they worry about their circumstance. Hallelujah! I worship better when I'm broken, because I come to God and I realize that He is everything. Jesus was represented there. The one who said, "It is finished." That's who Jesus is. He was represented by the ram that was caught in the bush. Remember on the way up there, Isaac looked at him and said, "Dad, where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham, one of the most prophetic responses ever given, "God will provide Himself." Golly. A sacrifice. Y'all feel the Holy Spirit? I did. "He will provide Himself in the form of Jesus Christ as a sacrifice." Abraham continued to the top of the mountain and brought the knife out and was about to come down upon his son, who was totally obedient to everything that was going on. Imagine that, a 19 or 20-year-old kid who's totally obedient to be sacrificed for Jesus. Not only did Abraham love God, but Isaac loved him too. Abraham. There's a sacrifice for you too. And over in the bush, over in the thorns, there was a ram caught by the horns. Did you notice that the thorns were wrapped around the head of the ram? Without spot or blemish, Jesus would die on the cross. That ram wasn't hurt because it was tied around the horns. But Jesus would wear a crown on that same hill thousands of years later. My God, my God. I often think of that message when Abraham was coming up this side, was the lamb climbing up the other side. Amen? When we were making our way to our own sacrifice, was God making a sacrifice that we didn't see coming yet? than every prophet, than every priest in the Old Testament coming, pointing at Jesus Christ. The volume of the book is about Jesus. The whole thing is about Jesus. Everything pointed at Jesus. Do you know that there was a tabernacle in the Old Testament? Do you know the tabernacle? The tabernacle has more chapters and more verses than the creation of the world. You know why? Because the tabernacle is a portrait and a template of Jesus Christ. On the outside, he wouldn't be loved because he was rugged like lamb skin and badger skin. But on the inside, it's the purest of pure. It's gold on the inside. It's God on the inside. My gosh, is there any worshipers in here? See, when the tabernacle came and they set it up, on the outside, you would look at it and say, there's not much to that tent. But on the inside was the holiest of holies. See, let's fast forward to the New Testament. All of a sudden, Jesus shows up in the New Testament in the womb of one Mary. On the outside, she don't look like much, but on the inside, she's carrying the holiest of holies. When Jesus is born in a manger, he doesn't look like much, but he's God. Some of y'all are sitting here right now going, what has God ever done for me? God got inside a womb. God was born, birthed in a manger. Not in a hospital. Not in a special wing of a hospital. Not in a king's mansion. But out in the middle of the wilderness. And you say, why was he born out there? Why was he birthed in that place? And why was he put on display like that? He was saying to himself, everybody's accessible to Jesus. Not the rich, not the poor, but everybody in between can come to me. Aren't you glad it's finished? Aren't you glad that you know this Jesus? All the shepherds and all the wise men came. Amen. But then Jesus got to a point where he said, I must be about my Father's business. Amen. Remember him in the temple? And then when he hit about 30 years old, his ministry started. Jesus had a ministry that was only 3 years old. A three-year-old ministry. And it's still going on today. Some people have ministries that last 50 and 60 years. When they die, it dies. Jesus had a three-year ministry. And what he did, he walked by blind people. You know who one of my favorites are? He walked by blind people. One of my favorites is blind Bartimaeus. And the reason he didn't heal everybody, see, Jesus could have went to every hospital, every nursing home, every region and went, everybody be well and get out of here. He didn't do that. You know why? Because he was showing himself God with every miracle. And we're not saved by miracles. We're saved by faith. What he was doing is he's saying, I will show you that I'm God through the miracle. But there's also a miracle like this. The miracle is got a spiritual connotation to a physical problem. He said, look, every blind person I heal is like I'm healing the spiritually blind. See, everybody in this room is either spiritually blind or had been spiritually blind. That means you couldn't see through spiritual eyes. You were just looking through carnal eyes. And every time Jesus healed somebody that was physically blind, he was saying, one day I'm going to heal people that are spiritually blind. But my favorite is blind Bartimaeus. He's loud. I can relate. One day, blind Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road, and he's crying out, and he's saying, oh, God, help me. You know, he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes by, and he realizes it's Jesus, because he's got a sight problem, not a hearing problem. Amen? So he starts picking up information that Jesus is passing by. So he starts, Jesus! Don't be too loud in here. You guys don't look like you like loud. Some of y'all were out late last night, and so was I. Jesus! Son of David, have mercy. Some of y'all won't cry out, but you need to, because you'll let Jesus pass by and you'll be quiet. Some of y'all are so worried about how you look to other people, but you don't really care what you look like about to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus says, I'm tired of looking a certain way for other people. Jesus! Jesus stood still that day. He said, have him come. And he healed him of his blindness. There was deaf people that were here because we've all been spiritually deaf. And if we're not careful today, you'll be spiritually deaf. You'll sit through another service and you'll hear a message, but you won't hear it. You'll let it get into your ears, but you won't let it get into your heart. See, you've talked about God and you've played with God, but you've never received God. You've talked about a God that you think you know, but you don't know Him, because if you knew Him, He would change your whole life. He would have wrecked your plans, turned your life upside down, and you would thank God every day for it, because it's a better life than you had planned for yourself. I think of paralyzed people. I think it's in Mark chapter 2 where his friends got together. They had took him probably to every doctor and everything, and he was paralyzed and he couldn't move and he couldn't do anything with himself. He was dead weight. Has anybody ever been dead weight? I have been. My family probably looked at me and said, Kevin's dead weight. We're doing all the work. We're carrying him. He ain't doing any of the burden. But they all got together. Four friends got together and said, we'll take him to Jesus. And they took him to Jesus and they found him in this little house. And it says, it was noise that Jesus was in the house. I'm a product of the 80s and early 90s. Jesus is in the house. God, if you don't like that, you're probably way too young or way too old. But you ain't where I'm at, baby. Jesus is in the house. God, love that. Jesus is in the house. Have you told anybody that Jesus is in the house? Has it been infectious yet? Are you on fire for God so much that somebody would want to go where you go and do what you do and say what you say? Four men did. They said, we're going to take him down there to Capernaum. I hear Jesus is preaching up a message. And it said, in there, it said he was preaching unto them. Amen? And they got there and there was no room. They knocked on the front door and nobody would let them in. Sorry, guys, no room. Shut the door. Must have been, I ain't going to, I wonder what kind of church that is. And that's sick, ain't it? You got a crippled man, a man who's paralyzed, and they, sorry, no room for you, Jack. Come back maybe next week. God, I'm really, I don't care. That's cool. They said, all right, I see how it is. That roof looked faulty. Hey, man. Let's break in through the roof. And they carried this dead weight guy all the way up to the roof, tore the roof apart, and lowered him down in it. You know what they were saying? We're coming to see Jesus. We don't care what you say. We want him. Are you that desperate yet? Well, keep living without him. You'll get there. Because without Jesus, life is pitiful and desperate and hard. There's no real joy and there's real no peace and there's no happiness. Man, joy unspeakable. They lowered him down and Jesus did something amazing. You know what he said? Your sins be forgiven you. And guess who was in there? Guess who was in there? There were some hypocrites in that church. Don't be surprised if there's some in here. If they got in that group and they couldn't get, there was no room, but there was some, one of them nudged him and said, can you believe he just said that they can't forgive the sins? Who but God can forgive sins? I don't like people who talk like that. You know what he said? He said, look, because you don't think I can do this, listen, I'm going to show you that I'm God and I can forgive sin because I can heal this guy's body. He said, take up your bed and walk. And that guy got up. You know what? He was physically crippled. He was physically paralyzed. Some of you are spiritually paralyzed. That means you can't go anywhere and do anything in the spirit. You're doing everything in your physical and it's falling apart. Get in the spiritual, and even if your physical gets broke down, your spiritual man will be happy and content. There's another one. Are y'all all right? Are y'all breathing? Is everybody alive? Is it good? Y'all with me? I got four of you. Great. All right, so listen. All of a sudden, here's this other group. Listen, this other group. They get a Jesus goes up into the Mount of Olives. It's one of my favorite stories. He goes up and spends all night in the Mount of Olives because he knows the next day is going to be a rough day. If you think tomorrow's going to be a rough day, pray today. If you think tomorrow's going to be a rough one, pray today. Put you can't make withdrawals of what you don't put in the bank. Amen. He makes prayers. You can't take out spiritual currency if you ain't got any spiritual currency in the bank. And so he's prayed all night and he comes down and he's teaching a Sunday school class. How awesome is this? There's about a couple places in the Bible I'd like to be, but being in Jesus' Sunday school class would have been pretty cool. Amen? Jesus sitting down there and And John chapter 8 goes, hey, all right, guys, sit down. I'm going to teach class. I mean, I've been sitting there like pen, paper, going, go. Just say something, you know. But all of a sudden, man, imagine this. The Pharisees, the hypocrites, guess what they do? They bring a woman who is caught in the very act of adultery. Did they let her get dressed? Did they wrap her up in a sheet? They roll her up. Jesus is teaching class. They bring her. And they roll her right out in front of the Sunday school class. Right in the middle of the temple, early in the morning. Wow. Jesus don't mind to expose your sin and your weakness. Can I tell y'all something? Y'all didn't like when I just said it, but I'll say it again in a minute. Do y'all know there's a song out, it's called Chain Breaker? Y'all like that song? He's a chain breaker. He's a way maker. Oh, you love that? I love that song, right? But God can't break the chain if the chain is never exposed. If you hide your chain or you hide the links of the chain, then God can't break that chain. So some of you are sitting here thinking, man, God's really exposing me because, see, this woman was caught in a very act of adultery. There might be some of you here this morning that are operating in the act of adultery, lying, manipulation, drugs. It could be any kind of many, many things. Sin. You know what God says? I don't mind your sin being exposed. I don't mind your chain being out in front of everybody, because when the chain gets exposed in front of God, that's when the chain really gets broken. See, the problem with us is we like to hide our chain. We like to wear our chain as a necklace or something else like that and pretend like it's a really cool ornament instead of letting God break the thing that's breaking and killing us. It's called repentance. See, you can't have salvation until you have repentance. And Jesus, this was such an awesome thing, is because when Jesus got this girl rolled out in front of her, everybody knew her sin. But let me tell you something, Jesus already knew it. Jesus already knows you. Some of y'all think, well, I'm hiding this from Jesus. You can hide it from me. You can hide it from other people. But you can't hide anything from God. And guess what? She was rolled out in front of them, and they said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What are you going to do with her? What are you going to do with her, Jesus? I love Jesus. He's cool as the other side of the pillow. He just kneels down and starts writing in the dirt. Radically different than us, right? We would sit there and try to ponder and get a position and think of what we did and what we wouldn't do. And Jesus starts writing in the dirt, and all kinds of preachers said, I know what he wrote and I know what he did. I really don't know. All I know is I don't really care. I just know that he wasn't concerned as much about her sin as he was worried about the ones that were bringing her for the reason they were bringing her. And all of a sudden, he just starts writing. He could have wrote anything. I kind of like the one is, where's the man? I kind of like that one. That's one of my favorite. Where's the guy? Because if you're caught in the very act, huh? Where's the actor? Huh? We're missing. It was a two-part act. We only got one actor. Amen? Okay, but then I like the other one too. It's like, why in the world were you hypocrites are everywhere sin is. We just don't know how to fix it. We don't know how to tell people to get out of it. We just know how to tell people how wrong they are. See, I can tell you're wrong. I knew I was wrong. But Jesus can tell you how to make it right. So as he lifts himself up off the ground, he looks at her and says, he looks at the crowd and says, the ones without sin, please, you know, cast the first stone. Everybody, you know, go ahead and start rocking her. Amen. If you ain't got no sin, go ahead and start throwing your rocks. My favorite thing in the Bible is it says from the oldest to the youngest. Young guys, sometimes we're dumb. When I was young, I was like, you think you know everything? They were over there loosening up and getting ready. I'm going to pound this. I mean, remember when you was young in the faith and you just want to, you'd wear people out instead of loving them? You tell them how bad they are instead of telling them how good God is? Get you. I'm just going to show you. You don't do right. And the old guy looked down and said, oh my goodness. This guy knows us. He knows what the girl did, but he knows us too. We're out of here. I don't know when the younger ones figured it out, but maybe it's just, oh no. All the rocks are dropped. And Jesus says one of the coolest things. Now see, we love, the modern church loves this. He just sets her free. He says, hey, sis, go and sin no more. He says, don't go back and do the same stuff. Listen, you got mercy and you got grace and you got love, but don't go back to the same stuff, sis. There's a reason why you're in this church this morning. There's a reason why you made it here. There's a reason why that God deals with you and lets you know that his job at the cross is finished. Because he doesn't want you to go back to the way you've been living. Amen? He don't want you to go back to the stuff you've been doing. It's finished. Ain't that cool? It's finished. My last one before we end this message is, there was two other people on the cross with him, two thieves. Don't ever give them their names, but they started out today railing on him. They did. They was like, man. And they're dying too. Ain't that? Dying people like to make fun of dying people. It's weird. Hey, man. When I was in my sin and I was dying and wretched, we made fun of each other and criticized each other and said stuff, weird stuff to each other. Right? But guess what? Jesus, all the way through it, saying words that he said, but here's my favorite. He's hanging between two thieves. Y'all know this. I know some of y'all are restless and tired, but I don't care. See, there was another man that was supposed to be on the cross with Jesus. You know his name? Barabbas. I love that name. Barabbas is the coolest name in the Bible. It means a son of a man. Pretty generic. Amen? His name means a son of a man. Random name for the guy who gets exchanged for on the cross by the Son of God. Oh, son of man, you come off the cross. Son of man, you go on the cross. Son of God, you go on the cross. That ain't no happenstance. That ain't no happenstance. That the person that should have been on the cross is you, and the person that went on the cross was Jesus. He took your place. Son of man. Son of a man, woman of a man. Amen. He hangs on that cross between two thieves. And I believe this is the changing point. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Have you ever seen anybody forgive somebody before the other person asks? See, that's what Jesus did for you over 2,000 years ago. He said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. He was talking about you 2,000 years ago on a cross, and you can think of all the things you said and done about Jesus and wouldn't ever relent to Jesus, and all the things you criticized and cursed him and railed on him. And you know what he said? He said before he even knew you, hey, forgive him, Father. Ain't it cool to live in forgiveness? I can always tell when somebody's been forgiven, they always give forgiveness. Forgive it. Look, I'm forgiving. Forget. Easily. But you know what it does? It don't set the other person as free as it sets you free. I mean, it sets you scot-free. Jesus is on the cross and he says this word, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. He fulfilled the purpose that he came to die on the cross. And then 3 days later, amen? The work of the cross was done, but he's not finished. Amen? Early that third, he's up out of the tomb. Walking on the road of Emmaus. That's the other place I'd like to be in the Bible. I'm serious. If I could, somebody say, what time in history would you want to go back to? Give me the road to Emmaus. I want to walk on that road. Them two guys had the mully grubs. I don't even know if that's even a word anymore. They were low. They were pretty low. Because they had put all their trust and faith in Jesus. And they thought he was the Messiah and the King, but they didn't trust in the resurrection of Christ. And they're walking, and all of a sudden Jesus, how cool is he? He shows up and starts walking with them. Hey guys, you know Jesus is cool, right? Hey guys, what are y'all so down about? Don't you know him? No, I love this. Have you ever tried to tell Jesus stuff like you knew more than he did? I do all the time. I try to tell God stuff. I'm like, hey God, you know this is going on. Like, in case you didn't know, God. He's like, what's going on, guys? Don't you know anything? Don't you know what's been going on? Y'all do know that he was the one on the cross, right? Y'all do know that? Okay, good. Because here you're like, don't you know what's been happening in Jerusalem? No, tell me, what's been going on? Give me your version. Well, we put all of our trust and faith in Jesus, and we love Him with all of our hearts, mind, and souls. But He died. And there were some girls who went down, or women, however you want to put it, went down to the tomb early, and they say He's resurrected, but we don't believe that either. Hey, could you imagine? Listen, I'm really preaching right here if you'll get a hold of this. Have you ever listened to yourself pray sometimes or talk to God? You're talking to God in such a way that sounds goofy weird. We love You. We trust You. We have all faith in You, but we don't believe anything that You're saying. Amen? And Jesus let them expound everything they knew, which took about 4 or 5 minutes. And you know what He did? He said He started, my God. Said He started from the beginning, and He showed them where He was throughout the whole Scriptures. From Moses until that point right there, He just went on a... Man, I would have loved to have been on that walk. I bet that 7 miles went by so fast. They got to the place where they were going to stop. And they're like, man, we're going to go in here and eat some fish and honeycomb. You want to come in? Jesus said He would have made like He wasn't going to stay there. He acted like He was going to go on. And these dudes constrained Him. That's an old tactic. They wrestled Him. They're like, no! Could you imagine getting a hold of Jesus? Nope. You're going to go in that room. You're going to have some fish. It's honeycomb. Got that, mister? He, listen, Jesus wants to come in. He wants to worship with us. He wants to come in. He wants to worship with you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to be in your house. But He's a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself in. He wants you to force Him to come in. He wants you so desperate for Him. Jesus came in. He sat down with them. And He prayed. And they're like, it's Him. And then He disappeared. And you know what He did after that? They said, did our hearts not burn within us? And it goes like this. Were our hearts not on fire for Him while He was here? You know what they did? They got up and ran the 7 miles back. That's a half marathon. Church people don't do that kind of stuff. They do when Jesus is there. Let me ask you a question. Let's all stand. As they come get a song. Scott, come on. As they're coming, let me ask you a question. Number one, all this is great unless you're not saved. Has there ever been a time in your life where you repented and asked God to be the Lord of your life? Because all these stories and all that happened at Calvary, Him dying for your sins and it being finished, is all predicated. It all hangs on. It all depends on whether you've ever said, God, I'm a sinner and I've sinned against You and I need You to be the Lord of my life. If you've never done that, you're not in the finished work. You're in the work that Adam done in the garden. You are working in the sin and you're separated from God. Now this is a very important time. This is the most important time. Because you don't have to feel a certain way to get saved. Salvation is a free gift. It's offered to you. All you have to do is say, come up here and say, God, I want it. And we're going to give you that opportunity. We're going to open that door for you to step into that finished work this morning. And when you do, God will make a new you. You'll have a new heart, a new mind, a new life. All things will become new. You'll hate what you used to hate, and you'll love what you used to hate, and hate what you used to love. That'll be a big barometer. If you need me, I'll stand right here. If you want me to pray with you, I will.